Hey, this is Dean Cameron, and when I need to break the tension, which is often, I like to put on the Nightmare Junkhead podcast.
Out of your consciousness, like a bad dream you can't wake from, this is the Nightmare Junkhead Podcast, a horror podcast that truly misses the lushness and thickness of shag carpet. My name is Greg D.
I'm Genius McGee.
And on today's episode, we're kicking off a new series where we're celebrating physical media by finally unwrapping a few of the gems found in Genius's collection, and we start by getting weird with 1986's Nightmare Weekend. Whether you've played ColecoVision or not, you can listen into our show. Simply search for Nightmare Junkhead wherever podcasts are played. Hit subscribe, and when we drop our latest episode, it will download directly to your listening device of choice.
All up in your pinball hole.
And you can find us pinballing out on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Nightmare Junk, and on both Blue Sky and Facebook at Nightmare Junkhead, but it is only on the Book of Face where we will have an events tab which leads to
shenanigans, and it's the Nightmare Fantasy shenanigans.
As this episode is going to be releasing on Friday, November 10th, if you find yourself in the Kansas City area, head on over to screenland.com where they will have those nightmarish shenanigans taken care of indoors.
And that's it.
That is it. That is
and that's the season it, now. Right? And that's it.
I'd like to think that as the wintertime grows in, just the shenanigans, they have to go inside.
Yeah. You can't do all the same shenanigans outdoors that you did in the winter. You can still do outdoor shenanigans.
Yes.
Just not as much.
Not as much. But more importantly, head on over to the Friday Night Frights tab. Mm-hmm. And before we talk about the Friday Night Fright that is playing on the 10th, let's take a second to look back at last Friday Night's Fright.
So fucking good. It was so good. It was so good.
It was good enough to see Phantom of the Paradise up on the big screen.
Uh-huh.
It was wonderful to see so many film family members out there, JT, Charles, Marie.
Yeah.
But then we had a number of people that dressed up,
uh-huh,
including Marie. But then
in walks the Phantom himself.
Oh, my goodness. Full Phantom cosplay.
Yeah.
Authentic.
Voice box.
Accurate.
Everything.
With a plunger.
The mask looked great.
It was spot on. It made an already wonderful screening that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some pictures up on the social medias of that encounter, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Because I remember seeing him like getting tickets, and I'm like, why is the Phantom getting tickets?
That's awesome.
Get in here. But again, thanks to everyone that came out, and especially thanks to the Phantom.
Yeah, and the fact that we were like, we noticed, me, you, and Mount Baldy all noticed.
Ooh.
So here comes Beef, and the fact that it was a very energetic crowd.
It was, and we were in Theater One,
mm-hmm, and there the people were singing along and humming along. We heard you, Marie, and having a great time, you know. And then here comes Beef, and when Beef enters the stage, he got a round of applause.
Got applause twice because
it's Beef. Just his whole entrance. First off, when he at the airport, just a sneer. Wonderful. But he comes up and he's doing his thing, and we all look and is that an embroidered snake penis on his leg? Sure enough, it was.
And then you had, on top of that, that
he had this belt buckle that was just a baby rattlesnake encased in resin. And I was like, that's fucking stylish. While he's rocking out his snakeskin suit with the platform heels.
And 1974 Garrett Graham rocking it. And also this is only the third time I've watched it, but every time when he's in the shower and he does that little backflip with the soap and he catches it.
Salutation from the other side. Dun, 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 dun.
So good. And that's, I think, the beauty of seeing it up large and loud.
Mm-hmm.
You notice those things that you've never noticed before.
Right.
It was so good.
And then you reaffirm things. Jessica Harper's a goddamn angel. When she's singing her song, Old Souls.
Old Souls.
And she's looking right on the camera. Oh, I was like. And then when she's like, come on, baby, da, 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 and she breaks the fourth wall, and I'm just like,
Did your heart melt?
You're adorable. You are just 100% just pure light. Golly.
And it's her shimmy that right. She does as well.
And her
well.
Little duck. Oh. Everybody's doing a little duck thing. Everybody I don't know does. If it was the 70s or what. But then, and then seeing 50-foot screen, that one guy who spikes the camera the
at
whole
the
very
end.
Time.
That Iggy Pop, David Bowie wannabe. That
right?
is like, look at me. Doesn't the camera just...
He's over there, just love everything. Me. They love me. Oh, and he's being so dramatic when like the Phantom died. He's dead. Oh, and
then, it's funny, and it's great is that we
are
not...
I can't keep my eyes off
no,
of him.
But we're not the only ones. And that's right? The best part is hearing other people react. And it was the reactions. It was the humming, the singing. It was magical.
It was great. It was
really
great.
Good. It was really good. Now, that being said, the date this episode is releasing... Our Friday Night Friday.
Another great one.
Staying in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Staying iconic, influential.
Yeah.
And you want to
prescient.
It's well, that's Romero.
Yeah.
He knows his shit. Dawn of the Dead, 1978. I'm not sure which cut we're watching, so we might have a little bit more Goblin than others.
Cool.
But regardless, it's Dawn of the Dead on the big screen.
Exactly.
Really, really looking forward to it. But looking forward especially to next week's Friday Night Fright. Saw it in the theater.
Me too.
Immediately went out, bought some fake guns, and was playing around a playground. And I was still a senior in high school when it came out in 1994. But The Crow,
yeah,
it's
seminal.
And it's, I mean, of course, it's tragic.
It is.
And given that I've only recently explored some of Brandon Lee's back catalog, including Rapid Fire, which is a banger, like you wouldn't believe. But Showdown in Little Tokyo... And let's just say, if you show up for the pre-show,
it's going to be there.
It's going to close it.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to close it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
You're ripping the pit.
Now, the other repertory screenings that are happening on the weekend of the 10th, and this isn't I've seen that. And in fact, the filmmaker himself is very divisive. But this is Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady.
Thank you.
Schenectady, New York. I've never seen it. I can't say that I'm a huge Charlie Kaufman fan, but, like, I appreciate him.
I appreciate him. Same thing.
And so, like, it looks and sounds cool. I mean, that's one thing. He's definitely unique.
And I'm pretty sure that's just pretty much all the regular collaborators that he has.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least then it's going to sound good.
The Kaufman
good.
Players.
Mm-hmm. Now, another one that's playing, and I know both of us have seen this one, and Terry Gilliam, his films... imaginative, lush, sumptuous, but Time Bandits in particular, man.
That movie is so, it's so Terry Gilliam, it's so dark Terry Gilliam, but it's so kid-friendly, entry-level Terry Gilliam.
And that's what's crazy, because it also contains one of the darkest endings.
It's fucking dark.
So dark. And then you've got the great David Warner playing Evil, and just hamming it up and chewing the scenery.
Because he's David Warner.
And then you've got you want to talk about like the Kaufman players, the Gilliam players.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone shows up in this one.
And with Terry Gilliam, no, it's going to get weird. Fucking Madeline Kahn shows up. Like all these people that you wouldn't expect to show up for brief cameos. And it just kills.
And they keep coming.
And that's the thing. That's the cool thing about like this movie. Yes, it's for kids. And you enjoy it when you're a kid. But I don't think you get the full gravity of the movie, the theme, the key players until you're significantly older. So if you haven't seen Time Bandits in a while, yeah, it's well worth your time.
Yeah, that's why I think we like genre so much is the older you get, a lot of the times the better some of those films
can right, get. Right. Those are the ones that withstand the test of time.
Now another one, and this one definitely falls firmly in November screening, but Adam's Family Values.
Nice.
Which, it's an I've seen that for me.
Really?
Really. And I know everything about the film.
Mm-hmm.
I know why I should love Joan Cusack in it.
Right.
I know why I should love everyone else involved in it, but I just haven't gotten around to see it yet.
I saw it in the theater.
I'm not shocked. It's spooky. It's quite good.
Spooky and azuki. Scary and listen, kooky.
All together.
Ooky. Mm-hmm. The Addams Family.
Done a little. No. It's not a repertory screening. It's a brand new one, and it's one I've heard a lot of good things about. And it looks like it should end up possibly as a new holiday rotation.
It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes.
I am looking forward to that one.
I might end up making it a double feature with Dawn of the Dead. I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm without a doubt going to see it that weekend. And I've heard
that'd be fun.
Positive things about it. So,
well, it's from the dudes who did...
Is it
I think it's from the writer of like Happy Death Day and Freaky. Mm-hmm. And so like, okay, cool.
And given down, that we love what they're doing.
I love this whole genre mix-up thing now. I think it's great. I think it's cool.
I do think it's a lot of fun. Yeah, so regardless if it's an old cult classic or a contemporary one.
Speaking of, there's a new, I think it's an anthology called Nightmares on 34th Street instead of Miracle on 34th Street.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's another Christmas horror anthology.
And
I love Christmas horror anthologies.
A home for Christmas horror anthologies.
As long as there's no like claymation sodomy, we're doing okay. That's right, draw the line.
What's funny is the fact that there is a line for you. But it was kind of the perfect storm of a line across. It was
kind of the perfect storm of a line. And looking back on it now, it fits. It tracks.
It does track.
It tracks.
Especially in lieu of current things. Oh, my. So like I said, whether it is a contemporary class, a cult classic or a temporary screening, we hope to see you out there mingling up with the film family. But genius, we're talking film family.
Bellies.
We have our own little film family hanging at Patreon, and regardless of your tier, this week you will have heard my thoughts, and it was a first time viewing for me in the theater, and we celebrate that, and we legit celebrate that because there is nothing better than seeing a movie the first time in a theater with a crowd. I was lucky enough to experience Stop Making Sense.
It's so good, isn't it?
Oh, my Lord.
It's really good.
And I'm not all that familiar with the Talking Head filmography beyond, or their songs beyond, like, their played-out jams.
Right.
The ones you know. So when they started getting into, like, making Flippy Floppy, Timeless and Painless, or whatever that one is, or all...
Just doing the, like, deeper cuts and
jams
shit?
And everything.
Yeah.
And, dude, I was legit making Flippy Floppy in the couch. I was jamming out.
Can
was...
you please because stop singing and moving around? The fuck?
Yeah, you had an experience at the Draft House with that one, did you not?
Right. How you gonna tell the host who encouraged people to sing and dance?
It's a sing along.
Can you please keep it down? I'm trying to watch the movie. What fucking movie? It's a concert.
And how you could not just, and I wanted to get up and start moving, and I'm not a big dancer kind of person.
It's the Talking Heads.
It was unreal. It was everything I thought it to be.
It's dope.
Jonathan Demme is no stranger to the feat I have taken in Caged Heat. Something Wild, and now Stop Making Sense.
They need to have Jonathan... Ooh, what if the worlds collided and the Talking Heads did a cover of Goodbye Horses?
I could see how it worked.
Right? Maybe. Would you stop making sense with me? I'd stop making sense. Same as it ever was.
Jesus. Now, this the problem is, though, I cannot help but
Same as it ever was. He's doing the hand thing, the hand chop, as he's doing
Same
as it ever was. This used to be a great big field of flowers.
I don't know if you would have maybe enhanced my initial screening during that or not, but it was magical regardless. So for access to that and so much more, come and join our film family by heading to patreon.com/nightmarejunkhead. A lot of good stuff coming up in November. We've just had a lot of good stuff to talk about all this year.
I'm really excited. I think it's not too early to talk about it, but coming up when we have the Wednesday Night Frights and Friday Night Frights.
Coming up here in November?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Wednesday night PTSD.
Oh, my Lord. And there was no better memory from you than remember watching Blood Rage for the first time. And it was my first time viewing. And I'm like, that was great and wonderful. Where's Genius?
Angry. Where?
He's angry. Angry and gone.
Angry and sad. And like, like, why are you laughing at this woman's pain? She's going through shit.
What's that woman's name?
Louise Lasseter. Louise Lannister. Then well, that's true.
It's not off. It's not far off. And that's the beauty of Blood Rage.
Louise Lasser.
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 You got
Lasser.
It. You appreciate her. You say that name correct. Dude, that is the most real scene I've ever witnessed
and
bore.
Fucking dirty pillow.
Oh? Of which are... if you haven't seen Blood Rage, you want to, again, you want to talk about a movie you need to experience with a crowd that knows what's coming up. Oh, my Lord. That's another one that we like to sit on the side and just do the peripheral viewing.
And good thing I had my degree in psychology or else you might not take it well. What do you mean they're not doing that? Oh. Slam.
And to this day, the first time we watched it, I thought something was off with the audio.
Me too.
I'm looking around going, wait.
I'm still going to do it. I'm like, oh, God, I hope this is okay. No, I'm going to be like, it's okay. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Please, please, please. If you book your tickets now, you will not regret it. 110%.
Never see Blood Rage.
No.
It's, come see Blood Rage.
Please come see Blood Rage.
Nightmare at Something Swamp or something.
AKA Slasher, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. Well,
brought to you the best slasher set in Jacksonville, Florida in the 80s. Come on down.
And bring a little coconut liqueur.
Coconut liqueur. Ew. Mm-hmm. And your best David Lee Roth signed autograph.
Is that another one we maybe need to revisit for a commentary just to point out all the little things we've seen since right? then?
Right?
That's
Leslie
changed.
Ann Warren's about to get down.
Jesus Christ.
Coconut liqueur.
And that's actually, that commentary is on the main feed. So please, and it's our good friends Amber and Adrian. So a lot to look into. Good Lord.
That movie's so good.
It is. It's actually, I'm glad that's in the rotation
me
now.
Too.
It's
me
yearly
too.
And we need it.
I'm so angry that first. I'm so angry. Yeah. I'm going to burn this theater to the ground, goddammit.
And given that you are a man of passion, given that you're a man that is quick to react, I'm glad you gave it a second chance. And it has become a beloved classic.
Absolutely,
at this point.
Absolutely.
And that is to say, though, man, again, our relationship
changes a lot with,
change with these movies. And given that's only been in our lives now, like
five years?
Hell, it's made an impact.
I know, right?
Well, that's why I know both you and I legit love movies, because of the relationships we form with these films.
Yes.
And how they basically are with us all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
They don't change.
But we do. And even when the same shit is burned into your mind, you always still can look at it in a different light.
Yeah. Like I said, even with Phantom of the Paradise,
mm-hmm.
even it's just little shit like that. So that is to say,
this movie's burned in my mind too.
Oh my goodness. How could it not be? And the reason we tore into this movie is because we had to tear into it literally
mm-hmm.
as the whole inspiration of this month. Is the fact that, number one, it's a celebration of physical media.
Right.
Which is something obviously near and dear to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of you have been inside the domicile of one Genius McGee.
It's, yeah.
It. I mean,
as long as you're not allergic to cats.
Yeah, that's of course. No, but it, I mean, it is a haven to all things you nerdy genre.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you have an intimidating collection. A wall of movies.
I have a few.
And the wall extends to
the other walls. Things. Yeah.
You have a lot of physical media.
Mm-hmm.
DVDs, Blu-rays, because you know, just like I do, streaming is fickle at best.
Right. The grid's going to go down, or licenses are going to be revoked, or rights are going to be moved, or something at some point in time.
And even something that you may have picked up on Apple, even though you bought it and you think you own it.
It is gone.
It can
if
be gone.
They decide to do it. It's mm-hmm. happened to our buddy Adrian. He had a whole shit ton of movies on Apple, and then they switched programs and all of his movies disappeared.
Now, you know what that doesn't happen with?
Physical media.
Darn right. The only thing you have to continue to adapt to is the media itself
mm-hmm.
and the players.
Right.
But we have so many ways to reverse engineer, so many players that will play older things.
Exactly.
It's all out there. Now, of course, that means some things are readily available
mm-hmm.
via DVD and Blu-ray, and some things you can still only maybe even find via streaming,
right.
which is a bummer occasionally.
That is a bummer, like the exclusives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, though, when going through your collection, and I'm sure you're not the only one, and I'm going through and I'm like, oh, I love that one. Okay, that one still has a wrapper on it. Okay. That one still has a wrapper, and I realized you had a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays
mm-hmm.
you had yet to open.
Right.
Guaranteed you purchased it, found it maybe within the trade, but you haven't broken it out yet.
I haven't got it out yet.
And yet, you will continue to play, you know, your games,
Always
all your
Sunny,
old movies.
Yep.
And so one of the reasons for this whole month was more than anything to break open these Blu-rays and DVDs that you've never opened up. But
mm-hmm.
a lot of these are going to be first-time viewings for either you or myself.
Right.
And that's something, again,
we celebrate.
We do celebrate that. Now, the one we're looking at here is a boutique Blu-ray. And what's wonderful is this started on the I've Seen That feed on Patreon. I watched it for the first time probably in January this year.
Yeah.
And I even think mentioning it when I was talking about it, I was like, I really would like to watch this with genius because there's so many moments where my mouth just dropped. I'm like, what is happening? This makes little to no sense, but I'm entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anything coming from Vinegar Syndrome, and if you know that label,
you kind of already know what you're getting in for. And then the fact it comes out with a Trauma Team release, you also kind of know what you're getting in for.
And I will say, I'm always a little hesitant on Trauma because I appreciate them more than I think I really like a lot of their films.
Right.
But also, they have responsible for, not necessarily, I think this is one that they probably distributed, because I remember Death by Temptation. If you've
it's
ever
a
seen
Trauma film. But, and that's very not Trauma.
Exactly. Now, right. This one felt a little Trauma.
Very Trauma. But the sleazy side of Trauma.
That's something we don't get into too often. If we play this as a Friday Night Fright,
beaded curtain. Two beaded curtains.
Two beaded curtains, actually. And
for two different films.
That's where I think a lot of the what the fuckery comes
from. A lot of the befuddlement.
And now watching this one with you, I was guaranteed correct. And we were looking at it, and I think about 20 minutes in, I was like, I'm glad you haven't asked me what's going on, because I don't know what's going on.
Because they're jumping like, okay, so is this happening with this? Wait a minute. No. Is this the same? I thought there's the same person.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was the same house. I thought this was the same. Wait, what's
this
going on?
This is not my beautiful daughter.
Right?
This is not my beautiful house.
Same as it ever was.
Or was it?
You know? And I'm like, wait a minute. Are they two? So is this movie part this, part that, part? Because, like, honestly, if I was going to nerd knowledge this movie,
ooh,
I would probably put... Okay. Revenge of the Nerds.
That's apt.
Phantasm.
That's very apt.
And probably Deadly Friend.
That would work as well. And it's those really weird specific things that you're pulling from those films that make its way into Nightmare Weekend that makes it so wonderfully weird, memorable. Do you remember why you bought the Blu-ray?
No. I think it might have... So, you know what? If it's Vinegar Syndrome, we probably ran into... What's his face?
Jeremy. Vinegar Syndrome. Yep.
At Vinegar Syndrome. And I'm like, I want these deal. Two movies. You guys get one more and I'll give you this one. Like, cool, bet.
And I guarantee you, it was probably one of those that he was able to sell us on.
Because mm-hmm.
that was the fun thing of watching him work.
Like, he would say, no, this movie's fucking bonkers. You won't forget this movie. Because, yep. like, he knows how to sell. He knows yep. how to sell the genre. He'd be like, guts and gore. A lot of tits. He probably said lots of tits and blood.
And you're like,
sold.
I got it.
I like tits. I like blood.
And when you combine all of them, on top of...
Puppets.
A lot of lingerie. An incredible theme song.
Multiple credible theme songs.
In fact, the score itself, as softcore as this movie is, it was appropriately soft.
It was.
You can't even call
Sessions
it
Sessions of Love.
Exactly. It's not AM Goldish Mm-mm. because it's its own thing. It, like you said, it's not necessarily going to be on your giggity mix,
but I'm glad it's appreciated for somebody's giggity mix.
Well, I do want to play a snippet from the main theme.
The main theme is wild because the main theme has nothing to do with any of the movie. The main theme sounds like it's a Broadway show, and I fucking love every second of it.
And when we were watching, like, even just the menu played, and you were like, you did a, ooh. Which,
is this going to be epic?
That's just it. And any time a song catches your interest like that, you know we're in good. So here's a little snippet of the main theme from Nightmare Weekend. I mean, and what we were looking for.
Nightmare fantasy. I'm telling you, we need to figure out a way to incorporate like us in the nightmare.
We have some talented listeners out there. I guarantee there's some sound engineers out there that can work the magic.
Right.
I don't know. It's, I appreciate a strong theme. And also, because we open with this scene that you just, there's no explanation.
No.
You don't know what's going on.
Biker Tufts and puppets.
And puppets.
And you're like, wait, what kind of movie is this? And why is the puppet killing them via computers? And are they, wait, why did they, like, why did their best friends, or like, you know how they, their best friends necklace?
Yep. And the amount of times we probably both said, wait, what, or at least what the fuck, within right? the first at least 5 minutes.
Right.
It was.
And you've seen this before, and you're still befuddled.
That's the problem, was I was trying to backtrack going, I don't remember this. however, though, when the gore kicks in and our balls or spheres kick in, and it
right.
was Coscarelli's lawyer on just
you're on
speed right? dial already.
Because they were flying, but they'd also disappear, sometimes. And then they would appear. So these balls, so basically this... to boil it down to this weird essence, this scientist creates this machine
mm-hmm.
that if you take somebody's personal artifact,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is,
mm-hmm. Let's say a watch.
A watch, a makeup kit.
An earring.
An earring. It doesn't have to be metal. It doesn't have to be, you know. It's just
something that was yours.
Something that was theirs. It's turned into the silver ball. Then okay. the silver ball can then turn into anything it wants to, or a projectile, because at one point it shoots itself through mm-hmm. a person and mm-hmm. into a person, and like we were thinking, oh okay, is it gonna go up somebody's hoo-ha? It was because there was multiple red herring hoo-has.
Oh my god,
wasn't there? Because there was the one where she's in the shower,
yeah,
and she's like bending down, oops, I dropped the soap, and right when the balls are flying
and
through,
we
and
both
like
went uh-oh,
right, because it's vinegar syndrome. Yep. And with the not only with the reputation but what we have seen so far, it wouldn't be out of line.
No.
But then like, no, it didn't happen.
No,
okay, further on, we're in about an hour and 20 into this 84 minute movie, and the ball then turns into, it goes into a woman's panties.
It rolls in there, as it does.
Right? And we're like, uh-oh. Is it going to, like, you know, is it going to, like, put a cork in it? Like, but somehow.
A nice subversion of what your expectations were.
Right. Instead of it going up in somebody, her hoo-ha,
oh, no.
It went up in a guy's mouth.
Yeah, it did.
Because he was trying to sniff her. Again!
Yep. Again,
bad things happen when you try to sniff panties.
Don't be a creep.
Right?
Don't be a creep.
Don't go around sniffing there people's panties. Bad things happen.
Consequences.
You get a metal ball in your mouth.
But we've talked about the metal balls, and we'll get more into them because they can do not only can they kind of do whatever they want, they can also
do whatever they want.
But you mentioned a puppet. Let's talk about George the puppet.
No rhyme, no reason.
Nope.
One day, she is apparently an invention for Jessica, who is part villain, part hero, no part deal breaker, part ingenue,
part roller skater,
part almost Frankensteinian herself,
mm-hmm.
because just her lack of common sense on the day-to-day world.
Of what is happening around her.
It made me think, like, okay, are you a creation of this doctor as well? Are you in the puppet evil?
That's just it. I thought in the end, kind of like, I don't want to spoil anything, but like Halloween 3, she was like
right.
a George as well, an android of some sort.
Right.
Or she's maybe a culmination of, she is
she's
bunch
something
of the balls
else.
And an overcoat.
Exactly.
It's but
trying to sneak into an R-rated movie.
When we mentioned like all the weird things about it, it leans into them to the point where we get no rhyme or reason. We get a little backstory about George that it's basically a family of geniuses.
Yeah.
He raised her to be a programmer. She designed him. There is a ColecoVision Turbo scene in this film that floored me because I mentioned before I was very fortunate growing up. Both my parents worked multiple jobs. They spoiled the hell out of me. My first video game system I ever owned was a ColecoVision. And it was top notch, man. I felt amazing and rad having it. But there was literally that turbo
mm-hmm.
thing that we see in the film. I had that, and that's how it
that's
worked.
That's dope.
And the control went in there, so it was your shifter. You literally had the pedal. It was fancy.
That sounds cool.
Way back in like 82 when that came out. So when she breaks that bad boy out, and then we get like this Benny Hill-esque
car. She uses it to control this car, and
So, and because George is hacking into, it was
the car,
but it was also, what's the main system called?
Apache.
Apache.
Because they're jumping on it.
And Apache is the thing. He said that multiple times, folks. Multiple times. Come on. You know genius. You know genius.
Because he's like, Apache. Because they're like, we got to get to the Apache. Jump on it. I'm like, oh, no. It's the Apache. Jump on it.
And then he'd turn and look. Give me that little ride. Yeah, with the little shuffle. You were doing. You're just like Harper there. Oh, my God. But it's the Apache that is controlling everything.
It's a supercomputer.
Yes.
And George is part. He's part of it, and he can control it.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, and because, but also I could have sworn if they would have took off Jessica's face and it was circuits and wires, yeah, I would not have blinked an eye.
No, I
I was like, okay, she's a replicant. You
I
know?
Was disappointed she wasn't.
Me too.
Because again, listen, I didn't grow up with as much privilege as she did, programming and this and that, but yeah, she seems very sheltered.
Yeah.
And even when she's experiencing what humans call love.
Because the way she was asking.
Yes.
Right? She was asking these programs, there's a pit in my stomach? Yes.
More data, please.
More data, please, right? And then, like, and I can't think, more data, please? And then, I was just waiting for, like, a start sparking out or something. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, while all this shit with Jessica, we think that she's a villain because she's controlling, again, like we were saying, she Benny Hills this car to go in quarter speed for this person who's driving, who we think at first is kind of nice because she's, like, the scientist. Like
The number two, in a way.
The number two, the scientist. Because we already have the scientist. We have a scientist assistant. And we have Jessica's the scientist daughter, right? And so... Again, not a deal
Never
breaker.
Never a deal breaker.
And so she's over there and like, dang, why is she so mean to this scientist? Maybe she's like, at first I thought there was a Lannister thing going on.
I was a little afraid of that because, again, you never know. And at this point,
because the way they were acting and the way she was like kind of pawing on the dad. Right.
You even mentioned daddy.
I was like, are we playing daddy or daddy? You know, I was like, what is this?
Well, number one, it's his mustache.
Right.
That it always gives off a particular vibe.
I mean, it's just the way he interacted with his daughter. Very Hulk Hoganistic. And that's when I was like, oh, no, let me tell you something, brother. Don't do that. And so then they move on. So then I'm in love. They Benny Hill this assistant. And they're like, man, why are they being so mean to the assistant? Well, turns out the assistant runs this toxic-ass working environment. She's the fucking worst.
Yeah, I don't know if they necessarily have an HR department within that particular company.
Because what does she say? Like, hello, my name is Roseanne, or Annie, Anne Marie something. Like, and I'm the nurse. Well, you better get to work because you're nothing but a slut like your mother. And I'm like, damn!
Well, I think, if I remember right, because I've seen it a whole two times, I think she's shown at the beginning with Dale Midriff and his brother scheming to do the whole thing to get up there, you know, alter the satellite. I'm pretty sure because she's the one on the walkie-talkie. I think that was established. But this movie is so roughly edited.
So that brings me a question. So
let's
captured them basically and then made them into their servants with the balls?
I'm assuming no, because then they it was only later that they had the balls that they became like right. Zombies and stuff. So
That's why I'm like,
I think they're just on the payroll.
They're on the payroll?
Yeah.
Even though they tried to break in and start TerrorVision and shit?
No, I think the brothers are
because
her
partners. Because he works with, yeah.
No, because I think that whole thing like maintenance, ma'am, that's him being undercover, not supposed to be in there. I think. Because the other thing that we were so lost on, and maybe it's because it's a giant mansion, is the fact that there's, I think, two locations.
There's at least two locations, but there's one, but it looks... One location like, is used for two locations, and that's what makes it's like if my front house was set A and the back of my house was set B. Yep. It's the same fucking place,
and we see it multiple times established.
Right,
and that's why I think we were so freaking confused.
Befuddled because like all these characters live with each other and fuck with each other in all senses of the term.
Very much, yes.
There's pineapples all over this town, right, and. None of them know where each other lives. None of them knows each other from Adam. It's like, what the fuck? You just finished falling in love with the assistant who lives with you. They're in the same fucking house. you just been assaulted by somebody who just had sex on a pinball machine in the same fucking house.
I was so afraid we were going to go the accused route with that pinball machine. Let's talk about the place where that pinball machine resides.
First of all, that's a rad. That's my kind of bar.
So we have a it's a video game bar.
Mm-hmm.
Does not serve alcohol.
It serves beer and soda.
And soda and sandwiches.
And sandwiches. But if you pay enough, you can get a little bit of something in your sandwich. But that was funny, holding the sandwiches when they first fixed those three girls, and she's just sitting there. I made you some sandwiches, and she's sitting there like, oh, it's the Thurman Merman's mom. And then she's sitting there just talking shit and eating sandwiches. And there was that brief pause. Mind you, I've never seen this movie before,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, that girl is just here to talk shit and eat sandwiches. And then she talks a little more shit and then throws out the sandwiches, and the sandwiches are gone.
She's all out of sandwiches, yep. And again, gave me that little knowing look like, huh? Huh? It's like, very good, genius. Very good. So let's talk about the denizens of this
The Stagecoach Bar?
Number one, it has to be owned by someone maybe of an Italian heritage because there are so many red and blue hues throughout.
It's Argento's bar.
Striking.
Argento's arcade.
Oh my god. It's
all we have is Tron. That's all the only game we have is Tron. But come on in. We have four copies of it. Oh, and the pinball. You like the pinball? The balls go bang.
You know who likes the pinball machine?
The goof.
The couple. So we have, you called him initially like
pinball toughs.
Pinball toughs.
Uh-huh.
Because they definitely,
they're hanging by the pinballs and they're toughs. And they're like, look, like, this is our bar. I mean, every time they came in, this is our bar.
They were very territorial.
But apparently they're also on the payroll. They're on the payroll. Because when that one guy who pulls all the shenanigans so he can fuck everybody in this movie, he buys the bar. And he goes, where's this guy? Isn't he supposed to be here for a shift? As what? Guardian of the pinball machine?
Well, as we see, he literally lays claim.
Oh, he's banging balls on that pinball machine with the street tough girl.
That extended
sex on a pinball machine
was. And what was really funny is this movie is only like 85 minutes long,
but a lot of sex strong, scenes,
long stretches, and of erotica. And that is to say,
yes, erotica.
If you are of a sensitive nature. We were not laughing throughout, but it was just the absurdity of everything.
Befuddlement.
We even said that we counted out the canoodling continuity issues.
There's a lot of canoodling. So first of all, he's the first one of the main ones. So first we see the pinball gizzard, and he's over there just banging away. Then we see the guy who was with the pinball guy. He has his goon who
popped the limo tire,
so he follows. I just want to ride to the crossroads. And then another thing, I felt bad for the limo driver
because they are banging in the limo.
They are horny, and like
he's trying to jack
the tire up while they're getting jacked.
Yes,
right? And they're banging while they're bombing. Like, dude, decorum. Like, let them fix the tire first, or like wait till they finish, and then you fix the tire. Something. But that's not nice because they're throwing like shit on him. I'm like, man, that's disrespectful.
But then even better, though, is headphone guy
is creeping in the background.
Doing his dance of
while he's listening into the background.
The
And then all the sex music is back there. And I'm like, ew.
It didn't necessarily give me Leatherman vibes. And thank God it's
Friday.
But he's loving to dance. In fact, when his headphones go out, he immediately goes to the stereo to fire it up. And I don't think that was the sexy soft theme that kept repeating.
Yeah.
Over. Da, 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 we da, da, were humming it.
Uh-huh.
I think we were actually kind of enjoying
it in a lot of ways. You know how like in the old school video games, there's maybe like 30 seconds of music and then it just repeats and repeats. And they make it so that it can repeat where there's really no stop and end and it just sounds like a continuous loop. That's the theme, the love theme from Nightmare Weekend.
But I kind of dug it.
Me too.
I'm not going to lie.
There's
something about it is the weirdness. I do think there's some charm involved. I think the intent was good, but we had three like different countries working together.
And three different scripts.
Three different languages.
Three different languages, three different editors, three different everything. And it was just three different movies.
And you can see it. You can feel it. You can smell it. Everything in the movie. And that's why I think the charm works. But I also think that a lot of the stuff at the beginning of the film, it adds to the lunacy. Because I remember with you, you're like, dude, this movie's nuts.
This movie's batshit.
But then it takes kind of its time of just chilling out at the mansion and establishing
weirdness, more weirdness,
lots of weirdness,
more weirdness,
and all the ribaldness. And listen, we don't get to break out the dong gong.
No, but we come very close.
We had the mallet out.
We were ready. There's normal, tawdry sex positions that you see in regular boner comedies with women on top, you know, and then we see that a lot. But in this one, we see like side fucking. We see stuff you would see like.
It looked like Cronenberg was choreographing the sex scene. Like,
I was waiting for that theme song, doom, 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 the Pornhub theme, because I was waiting for like, oh no, is this like step family shit going on? Because that's what it is. People are banging in the shower. Oh, and then the balls in the shower were like, uh-oh. Right? I mean, everything.
Between the balls, the sex.
She's making out with spiders.
The spiders.
Oh, and then the Benoit balls. When the thing would go, they should put them in there like, woo. I'm like, Jesus.
They have
Christ.
A mind of their own. Like we said, it's hard to establish how they move, what they do, what they're capable of.
But they do give you good information because you found your probability of your survival when you deal with hobos, hippies, and hitchhikers.
And listen, let me tell you, it takes a lot for genius to stop a movie. It happened to Dogs.
Uh-huh.
When we went, you're like, oh, it's Ducky. It happened here because he had to, for prosperity, to take a picture. And we're not picture takers, especially when watching movies.
Right.
But something has to tickle you a particular way for you to respond that way. So when that happened, and that's, I also remembered. So George is breaking down the variety of ways.
Where she's like, oh, I'm lonely and I want to find, where can I find and meet people?
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes up, George, in his infinite. He comes up with three different scenarios, the three best ways to meet single people.
We interviewed 100 people on the road there.
Survey says in first place with 82% bars.
Okay.
In second place with 76% discos.
The discotheque, interesting. Mm-hmm.
If you want to meet singles. And the number three place, if you want to meet singles, with 66% hitchhiking. Bull fucking shit. You might meet singles, but you don't want to meet the singles you meet hitchhiking.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You've established the many things over the many episodes of this show. The three H's that you avoid.
The three H's of horror. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hobos, hippies, and hitchhikers.
Avoid at all costs.
Right?
That never ends well. Regardless if you end up in an erotic film, it might start fun.
It might start great, but it's going to end nasty.
You're going to be missing a kidney.
Exactly.
You're going to be missing a body part.
You might have tons of fun on your hobo adventures with your bindle, warming up that can of beans over the open fire, singing flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe. But eventually, the beans and the hooch is going to run out, and somebody's going to fight, and somebody's going to have to bang somebody for a ham sandwich. And then for hitchhikers, it is never good to be the hitchhiker or the hitchhikee. No good. And I speak from experience. I've rolled the dice before. Unfortunately, I've come out the other side clean. But I don't want to roll those odds anymore. Hitchhiking is bad news bears.
So are we saying George the Puppet may not have his finger on the pulse of single life in the mid-80s?
I first of all, I don't even know where I can go to discos now. If I knew, I'd be there.
You'd be there.
Because I love me some disco dancing.
Ooh, I think it's our kind of our proclivity for like 70s cinema, 70s music.
70s culture and couture.
And 70s sleaze.
Right.
Because this movie is kind of sleazy.
More than kind of.
With the gratuity of the nudity, because we are going full frontal with the females.
There's even an undead rapist. That weird slime guy who literally worked his way through every single girl in this movie.
And he is slimy at the end. That's actually pretty. That's cinema, kids.
You're right.
That's how they show, don't tell. There's.
But the carnal. The canoodling continues. The continuity of the canoodling. So they're making s'mores.
Oh, yes.
Next thing you know, they're butt fucking naked and just going to town on
and
this
that's
deck.
Where. Yep. And we get some of the weird angles.
Right. Then, meanwhile, somebody else is canoodling as well. Then we go back to them. And now it's night, and the couple outside who were making s'mores are still fucking. Then cut back, it's daytime, they're making s'mores, cut back, they're now fucking again, and it's night, then they go back to making s'mores.
And then
it's the same day, and then like, what do you want to do tonight? You just got finished making s'mores and fucking. I don't know what else you have on your itinerary.
I smell sex and candy.
Of which... Who's that lounging in my chair? Mm-hmm. Who's that casting devious balls in my direction? Mama must be Apache. Dig it.
We have not mentioned probably the biggest Rick Dalton moment of everyone involved. Dale Midkiff. That guy from Pet Sematary. That guy.
Same in Pet Sematary is the same as in this one.
He's
wooden.
A little wooden.
A little stiff. Especially when he's getting. You'd think he's a little bit more down and active because he's about to get with Jessica. And Jessica's over there as kooky and fucked up and half evil as she is. She's a goddamn treat on her little roller skates talking with her weird psychopathic puppet.
It was not only was it the roller skates, it was the knee pads, the elbow pads, the accoutrement that she was rocking.
I was waiting for the theme from the roller skating theme in Pieces to play in the background. Down, 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 down,
down, down, down, down. This movie has a Pieces feel.
It does.
Give it the overdubbing, of course.
Very Pieces.
But it's the weird editing. The prolonged weirdness, the sleaziness to it. An 84-minute long film that probably could have got cut down to like 54 minutes, but then you add the sex scenes.
It feels an hour and 25 with the sex scenes.
So are you saying you felt every minute, genius?
I did, and I wasn't mad about it. I was highly entertained. I was befuddly entertained.
You were would you say you were a little like Bronson in 10 to Midnight? You were just like, what's this for?
It's for jacking off, maybe. I mean, I can see it. I understand. Because, like, honestly, if I grew up with this movie, George, where's Apache? Oh, yeah? Sessions of Love. Wait, what?
In 1986, you wouldn't have been wrong, my friend.
Right?
Because that's why it's there. This was that time. This was the heyday of all of that.
It's bonkers.
This is, and again, that is to say, legitimately enjoyed the film. But when you have Dale Midkiff and you can put him on the Mount Rushmore, and again, I hate to do it, but like Michael Paré and a lot of those just charisma vacuums that
everything else in this movie is wild, one, and great.
But you're like,
now,
granted, he looks good. I think a little.
Man ass. Yeah. Everybody's so weird and wild and over the top in this movie, and he's just, hey, I'm the butler. Like
maintenance.
I'm the maintenance. Here to lay the pipe.
He's here to fix the cable, genius.
Right? And I'm like, come on, Carl Hungus. Be a little crazier. Get a little crazy. Everything else around you is fucking batshit.
So the gore in this film, the kills in this film, and trying to figure out, again, the whys and the whats.
And the what happened and what's going
on. Of the balls.
Right?
There are no rules.
No.
Nothing. You just, whatever you want them to do, they'll do it.
They'll do it.
But they'll do it in a mean way, because there's the opening kill with the eye.
When he falls down the eye and the eyeball's like popping out. It's great.
It's gushing.
And then the second kill when the pinball gizzard gets off of his bike and decides that he wants to rape Jessica, right?
Yuck.
And George is like, and that's another thing.
George.
Psychic link. Something along what? That's why I thought she was a robot, right?
I guess it's, if you're on the property, you are still within eyesight of George or Apache.
Yeah, Apache's radar. Something's wrong with Jessica. So they sent a ball.
His watch fell off.
His watch fell off. His watch turned into a ball. Then the ball went through his neck, out his eyeball, and made his head explode.
Yep.
And then it drowned him in the water.
Yes, it did.
That's a little overkill, but deserves it.
Well, you know, when you're a rape creep pinball gizzard, as you said.
You deserve it. When the ball, if the ball doesn't kill you, it turns you into a neuropath.
And the whole thing, this whole premise of this science is to, like, alleviate anxiety and stress within. They started with Yelp review, sort of.
In a roundabout way.
With the Doberman.
And then, like, once the ball is ingested, and I'm like.
And then his lengthy stay at the vet, dropping everything off?
So the ball goes into the dog, and it's shown off screen. Well, the dog didn't survive, had an aneurysm in one of his arteries. Oh, I'll take him to the vet. For what? Right? He can't be fixed if he had an aneurysm in one of his...
Proper disposal.
Okay, fair. But so then he goes, and it's daytime.
Yep. It's
all of the s'more canoodling happens.
Yep.
He finally leaves after that scene of s'mores and canoodling. Then he leaves and it's night. How long have you been at that fucking vet?
He had to grieve genius.
I understand. And again, I understand.
We've all been there. We know how it is.
But like, I would rather grieve at home than like.
And then there's even like the bad guy from afar that's on the phone. You see that one shot of him where he's got the little German Shepherd with him.
With him.
That did not have to be there.
No.
I don't know how, again.
None of it makes sense.
Of this,
it's like all. It's like the script.
Again,
is A, B, C, D, E, right?
Okay.
And the dialogue is said in A, B, C, and D.
That's fair.
But everything is shot F, X,
yeah.
G, A, I,
ampersand.
D, yeah. It's weird. Apostrophe.
Yep.
And you're like, none of this makes any sense, and I'm 100% lost, but I was never not entertained.
That's just it. I think this movie played like I watched it the first time by myself in the basement with Charlie, talking to Charlie the entire time, going, "What's happening?"
But when the balls finally make you into the neuropath,
you
mutate slightly. You just become ugly, or you lose your makeup because the one girl turned around and she went crazy. Still not a deal breaker. She went crazy, and she's got her hair. And like
you see, it's
wild
very,
eye, and she basically scalps herself,
chop topped in a lot of ways.
Chop topped, and she's still like ugh. The second person. She turns around, and I'm like, okay, she's a mutant. No, they just gave her Austin Power teeth, and I was like, what is she gonna tell you to ever behave?
Do I make you horny?
Yeah, let's shag, right?
You're not lying though, because I thought the exact
Austin
same
Power,
thing.
The other, she turned around, and they just like, okay, she just looks tired with no makeup, and they put green slime in her mouth. Cause they just took her makeup off because she was hot. The blonde was
a treat. Oh yeah, no, they're all.
and don't get me wrong, with all of her makeup on, she was still a treat. But I'm like, okay, she's still pretty. I'm not scared of her. She just looks unmakeuped and a little tired. You know,
maybe she'd had a little too much to drink.
Apparently, because she's all slime in the green stuff, and that was it. That was the big monster. And then the one like
little side droop.
There's a little side droop, and I'm like, I'm not terrified. I am terrified of the undead rapist because he was creepy before he was alive. Mm-hmm. Now he's even worse.
He's worse.
But now it's like, because even she goes, what's the matter with having people with no inhibitions and no sense of fear? And I'm like, it's called alcohol. We already have it, lady. And bad shit happens.
Well, you know what? Anytime your script includes the line of your quantity, I'm quality, it's part of it, man. It's part of it.
This was the vibe.
It was a vibe.
This is a vibe.
We even mentioned there are for several people in this film that are just vibes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got Paris vibes, British vibes, American vibes.
Right. Moose vibes, Jessica vibes. No. Didn't she look like Moose?
And again, another age of demarcation. If any of you grew up with, you can't do this on television.
Uh-huh.
You knew Moose.
Yeah.
We all kind of crushed on Moose.
Right. But the main villain.
She very much.
She looks like an Moose adult, bad. Like an evil, older Moose.
Genius, what does this computer over here do?
I don't know. And then she drowns the one in water. What is that? That was a creep shot. That was a lot of creep shots, but there was one creep shot in particular when she's coming out of the water, and they kind of like, it reminded me of Texas Chainsaw with the ass shot.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, let's have a Texas Chainsaw ass, but let's make it all wet and let's make her slither around on the ground. It's going to be great. It was.
It worked.
It was. But it was just like, this is gratuitous. I know what they're doing. I appreciate it, but I see what they're doing.
Something dirty, isn't it?
Right?
We all feel like Nash occasionally, where there's something happening where we know something maybe is
off. Can tell this is made by an erotic tour.
Yes.
You can tell this is made by a smut peddler.
Because all the stuff that was shot sexy was shot really well.
Really well. It was just everything else.
It was a little off. Given, now if this came from like Scream Factory, I'd be a little shocked.
But I'm not with Vinegar
Syndrome. Not Vinegar Syndrome, no. That's what I love about, and when we did a month of Boutique Blu-rays, Six String Samurai we did from Vinegar Syndrome. That's why I love them.
Yeah.
From apocalyptic, crazy musicals to...
It's going
to
be either smutty or weird or violent or all three. That's Vinegar Syndrome's bread and butter.
But I can guarantee you would never be bored.
No.
With something from
never
there.
Never be bored with Vinegar Syndrome. And Vinegar Syndrome did sweet trash.
Street trash might be too good for them.
Right? Sweet trash, which was a really good movie, though.
I think actually Synapse did Street Trash, so that's appropriate.
Right?
That's appropriate. Was that Weird Wednesdays back in the day?
Yeah, because Sweet Trash was not bad.
So many people came out for Street Trash,
and they're like, this is sweet, okay.
Do you remember those initial Weird Wednesday screenings, man? We brought out, and again, listen, we were there, so we were part of them, but all of us creepy perverts come out.
We brought out some creeps.
It was great.
Had some creeps. It was dope.
And, you know, they're halfway to Black Friday sale. I blind buy a lot.
Cemetery Man on Vinegar Syndrome.
And they have gone above and beyond finding stuff. New York Ninja.
Right?
Listen, we love Vinegar Syndrome. I'm glad we got a chance to break this one open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I got to watch it with you to verify that it is just that weird and wild and wacky. Yeah.
Befuddlement.
Dude, you, even now, like your face, you're still like, I know, I enjoyed it.
But why? I don't know why. I know why I enjoyed it. I think all my listeners know why we enjoyed it. But like, it shouldn't work.
No. And I guarantee for some people it won't.
It's not.
They're going to say this is just badly made. You guys are championing trash. And yeah, we do.
We are.
Because it's entertaining.
It's entertaining trash. Are you not entertained? I sure am. I want to see big pinballs flying into people and making them do ribald things.
I want the further adventures of George the Puppet and Jesse.
Right? I would love to see Jessica and George do their further adventures. Because they survived.
They did survive. Do we get another Nightmare Weekend? Nightmare Weekends?
Right.
With a Z, maybe?
Nightmare Weekdays.
Well, looking at the IMDb of a lot of these films, like the actress that played Jessica didn't do a lot after that. I think that was her only film.
Oh.
Our director, Henry Sala, not Henry Silva.
I could have fooled me.
French erotica was his main thing. Listen.
Le Cousins and Angel Rolls.
I saw this, I'm pretty sure, via a streaming service. I do not own the Blu-ray of this. That's why I was so excited when I was like, hey, Nightmare Weekend. Hey, you haven't watched this yet. It's unwrapped. It's still wrapped. And that is the purpose of this month,
mm-hmm.
to explore the weird, to explore the stuff that is in your collection that for some, and again, we got it. It's a discipline.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. Final thoughts, Genius McGee on Nightmare Weekend.
It's too bad Jessica didn't do anything
else. I liked her.
I liked Jessica too.
And again,
she looked like bad girl Winnie Cooper, and I am here for it. I am here for it.
That's another little scratch
right?
itch in my friend.
Right? I tell you, anybody who grew up with it had a crush on Winnie Cooper if you're at that age.
And technically, in real life, she was a mathematician, so you never know. She may have contributed to a George the Puppet somehow
right?
with one of the algorithms
she
that
makes
she was putting
Apache
together.
To kill Paul. Somewhere fucking Marilyn Manson's got a ball flying at him right now.
I think he deserves that, actually.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Final thoughts there, genius.
Sessions of light, da, 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 blah, blah, blah. Turn on Apache, George. Yeah.
There have been a lot of skips on your VHS.
Not a lot, though, because it was horny throughout.
Yeah, it's an extended one.
It is.
Yeah, this was a blast. So thank you for taking the time for that. Now, I believe next week's unwrapping will be one that you've seen, but will be the first time viewing for me,
mm-hmm.
if I remember right. So mm-hmm. what will that be? You're just going to have to tune in to find out. So until that time, this is Greg D.
I'm Genius Mickey.
We'll see you in your dreams.
I'm going to give me a computer and a puppet. No, mine like it's going to be an old Tandy and an old Kermit the Frog puppet.